I'm Ben Trefney, and I'm biking south along the Great Highway with the Pacific Ocean stretched out to my right. Today's show is all about bikes. And out here, where it's peaceful and calm, it's hard to imagine the wars that take place between bikes and cars, but we all know they take place. It's most obvious on the last Friday of every month, when thousands of cyclists take over downtown San Francisco for the critical mass ride. A few years ago, my colleague Zoe Cornelia and I decided to profile the event. So we interviewed the founders, strapped a mic to my bike, and recorded a ride on the ever-changing route. Let's give that story a listen.
Well, it starts by itself. The only thing that's constant about critical mass is it starts the last Friday of the month in San Francisco, and at the same spot every month, and usually around 6 o'clock or so. And people gather, and then somehow one person gets impatient, starts ringing his bell or her bell.
All right, we're ready to go.
The next thing you know, we're going.
Hi, my name's Chris Carlson, and I'm 48 years old, and I've been riding my bicycle in San Francisco since a long time ago, 1978.
My name is Anna Sojourner, and I'm 37, and I started going to Mass pretty soon after it started, sometime in late 92 or early 93. And
My name's John Winston. I've been involved with Critical Mass for maybe about 10, 12 years, about a year after it started.
And as a daily commuter for all these years, I was very interested in improving conditions for bicyclists and being part of a different way of being in the streets on bicycle. And
it's really important to understand the conditions that Mass started under.
Drivers used to throw things out the window at you and tell you to ride on the sidewalk, and they would try to run you off the road, and there were no bike lanes, and if you tried to take the lane, it was considered, trespassing or something.
Every single ride I took, I got harassed. I got people yelling at me out of cars, a lot of obscenities, a lot of sexualized, sort of violent, threatening things. I had people, pound on their horn and pass me with just inches to spare, and that was not just common, it was absolutely every day.
Beginning of it was essentially a bunch of people who had been talking about the idea of riding together as a political statement, as an act of reclaiming the city and the
to be with people who weren't afraid to say that we've just gone too far with automobiles. We've just gone too far with them. To hear them say what I'd secretly been thinking all those years. I mean, it was incredibly liberating.
And so there was a climate that had been well established of sort of thinking about doing things as a swarming crowd of people on bikes, as a political statement, as a statement of another way of living, actually.
They were going to call it Commute Clot or something, which was a terrible name.
I wasn't around when it was called the Commute Clot. I think the first few rides it was called the Commute Clot. But Ted White made a movie about called The Return of the Scorcher.
And he talks about how traffic worked in China, where the bikes would just come to an intersection and they'd have to stop because there would be cars going through the intersection. But eventually there would be enough bikes that the bikes would just come in and take over and stop the cars.
Basically, there'd be a bunch of cross traffic, and then the bicycles would move into the intersection. Like one person would sort of look for a break in the traffic, he'd move, and then they would attain critical mass, as the narrator says.
There's a few other ideas bandied about, but I met this woman once, and she said that she was the one who said, "It's like a big critical mass," and so it took off.
And about 50 people came to the first one, and the next one was a little more than that. The next one after that was over 100, and then, before we knew it, we were several hundred, and then a year later, there was 1,000. And then from then, of course, the story in San Francisco has grown quite a bit, and we've had thousands and thousands of riders, sometimes as many as 7,000 to 10,000 people on bicycles.
And the neat thing about it, as a cyclist, is, there's just every kind of cyclist, every kind, recumbents, and what's really fun is there will be bike tourists almost every month from out of town.
You get 47-year-olds like myself, and you get lots of the young kids on fixed-gear bikes with the little Campagnolo hats and the fathers with kids on the back and trailers full of kids and
people on super expensive bikes and people just on the rattiest things that they pulled out of the trash. So that's always fun.
It's kind of like this little town square where there's all this conversation going on, and friends are meeting each other and they're talking among their little groups. And
so long about 6 o'clock, people start getting restless and they stand there and they ring their bells and everybody rings their bells and people start whooping and screaming, and bit by bit they leave. And we all sort of ribbon out of Justin Herman Plaza, and it's always very slow right in the beginning. It's almost better to walk your bike than try to ride it, and gradually we start going somewhere.
In the old days, in the first few years, we used to always publish a route. A lot of different people published routes proposing where we would go, and we'd follow it pretty carefully, and sometimes they had themes and sometimes they didn't, but it was always a way of sort of organizing the movement through the streets. And after a certain point in time, we just realized we really don't need that. People are pretty good at spontaneously choosing where to go and making mostly good decisions, not always.
Whoever's in front is really in charge of the ride, and you can't stay in front forever, so it's usually sort of gets the leadership gets passed around, kind of like we're all leaders.
Which creates major chaos, of course, but you know the point of it is not to create chaos, but to actually alter the use of the streets of the city.
When you're on a bicycle, you're forced to talk to people. Even when you're just riding in a group on Market Street with people you don't know, it's a very social activity, and it takes a big city and makes it into a small town. And
hi, this is Jeff McMullen. I've got my daughter in the back and two kids in the front. In fact, I had the first oldest daughter in critical mass about 10 years ago.
My name is Caitlin Walsh, and I'm in sixth grade. I love critical mass. I've done it ever since I was little, and I love being with my family.
And learning that bikes are a safe way to travel around the city. Learning how, yes, with a group of people, you can have the respect of motorists and enjoy riding around the city.
It was a very friendly mass in the beginning, much more so than today.
Oh, there's always a group of people that, you know, a very small, usually it's only one or two people that, you know, want to hit a car, you know, or they feel empowered by being in a group, and they misunderstand, that they think that we're there to smash cars or something, and every now and then they crop up, and it causes a lot of soul-searching when something like that happens. The last few rides, a few things have happened.
To criticize the cyclists first, I think that there's always going to be an element who cower in groups and take advantage of being in a large group to exercise their own aggression. At the same time, I think that there are any number of drivers who think that we have no right to be where we are.
Everybody out of the way! Oh, the bike got caught there. He hit him there. I was just looking at the car. It looks like he hit the fender and the bumper and right up into the windshield.
That's a felony.
It must have been his head to get that side of the windshield like that. Head there, right here, who knows.
And unfortunately, a lot of times, people's first impulse is to come there with fairly limited ideas of what it means. So they think, oh, it's class war, cars against bikes. That's false. And it takes a little while to get it across to people that, you know what, that's a very oversimplified and rather self-defeating way of characterizing what we're doing here. You actually need to think about it in terms of people in the cars as your allies, because all of us have something at stake together against this organization of life.
Today, mass is a phenomenon that exists, that's been defined. And in the beginning, we were defining it, and it took a lot of work. Today, I think there are people who aren't radicalized, but they ride bikes, and I'm really glad they're safe and they feel safe and they don't need to carry this ideology with them just to get on their bike. I want everybody to ride bikes.
But and nowadays there's a lot of young people who were just kids when the whole thing started, and or maybe not even born, and they definitely get it. You know, you see them at the front, they know to ride slowly, they're not jumping ahead too fast, and they're concerned when bad things happen. They try to figure out ways to get, you know, to influence events so that things are positive. And it evolves. It continues to evolve. But basically, there's not much to evolve. It's a very simple
idea. The most important idea that came out of Critical Mass, the very most important idea, is that we didn't have to wait around for the world we wanted. We didn't have to wait around for it to be handed to us. We could get together and make it. And we made it by passing out flyers and telling each other what we wanted, and by talking to each other. And we took over the streets and made them the way
so
we wanted
beautiful.
To live.
So, you know, we've just had amazing chances of really living in San Francisco, in the beautiful city that we're in, and really seeing it from a different point of view in this huge rolling crowd of people having interesting conversations and just breathing and tasting it as we go.